Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olson's The Empire of the Suns podcast. We're almost there. Suns cut down their roster on, well, they're not really done yet. They haven't done it yet, but we know Davon Reed, Shaq Harrison, and Darrell Arthur are going to be the guys who are cut. Davon Reed's is not official yet. Jamal Crawford's inking is not official yet, but we expect that today. It's Tuesday before the Suns opener, and this is pretty much what we feared, expected. There's not really a point guard. Let's just circle back real quick, though, and talk Jamal Crawford. Do you buy that it's a good idea to sign Jamal Crawford?
No. No. Okay, that's harsh. It depends on how he's used, but they're off to a bad start. So I don't think cutting Davon Reed is an absolute disaster by any means, but I do think that the practice of taking a 24?
He might be 24.
A mid-20s point guard who is only in his second league in the year, and you just picked him 32nd overall. Cutting that guy for a 38-year-old guard who you don't really need. There wasn't like, I mean, you need another ball handler, I guess, but you don't need. Eddie House asked me this when I was on the rundown last night. Like, he's a ball dominant. I'm going to handle the ball guy. It's not like he's a guy that keeps it moving. I think he actually can keep it moving, and he's going to play within the offense to a certain extent. But I also think there are going to be possessions where he's going to dribble. And is that the veteran that we need in this specific offense? I think letting go of Reed for him is, that's obviously where the flaw is, because Crawford has obviously no future here. He's not even playing that important of a role for all we know. But with that being said, Reed had the knee surgery. He had the knee injury. He had the knee surgery. I'm not someone who watched 40 games of Miami tape on him to know if his speed and athleticism has changed. I thought he looked good in summer league from an athletic standpoint. I've thought he's looked good in the times I've seen him in the preseason and everything else. It just seems like he was still getting acclimated to the league. But I have heard that he hasn't been the same from their perspective internally. So that's where the hesitation is, and where I kind of understand, like, okay, like they were giving him as many chances. Like, Gambo reported they were thinking about trading him or waiving him before summer league.
Yeah.
And then they gave him summer league. He played really well, and then he didn't play that well in the preseason. And both of those are honestly, like, it's summer league, it's preseason. But the thing about Reed is he hasn't had any real playing time to get acclimated, because last year was coming off the injury and barely in the system and the rotation. And then this year, summer league and preseason. So, and it's kind of a wishy-washy kind of thing, but not really. It's still flawed.
I feel like I'm the only person on Jamal Crawford makes them better island, and it doesn't matter. Like, what's Davon Reed's upside? He's not even going to play. He's not going to play. So then you get to, okay, well, Jamal Crawford's going to play over the rookie point guards. They couldn't even beat Shaq Harrison, who was cut out of playing time to go into this preseason when they're trying to determine if Shaq Harrison could be a guy they keep. None of the rookies could beat him out. So all that just tells me, like, this is just about having NBA players. And I know people are upset about Crawford and think, okay, he's going to be terrible on defense, he's going to pound the rock. But legitimately, like, you can't say that to me and then also complain about the Suns tanking again, like, or not trying to win. Like, if you agree with Ryan Anderson, why is Ryan Anderson playing over Dragan Bender? It's kind of the same thing. Like, he has the same flaws, but he's going to help you, and you absolutely need what he has. Jamal Crawford has something that I keep saying Devin Booker's the only above average ball handler on this team of 15 guys. And now you have Jamal Crawford. Like, legitimately, you need someone to dribble the ball and maybe chuck up a shot if you get into a situation where someone just stops your offense cold through 19 seconds on the shot clock. So to me, it's no, he doesn't make your team a whole lot better. But we're talking about like PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker didn't make your team maybe even win any more games, but he sure as heck helped you from losing and just completely breaking down and at certain things. And it's obviously very different things with Jamal Crawford. But to me, that's where I see it. And I also really think from a player respect standpoint, he's actually like really far up there in terms of guys really respect the heck out of him. So like, is he a good signing? He's going to swing anything? No, but I just don't understand all the like uproar about it. And if you're not getting Patrick Beverley for a second round pick, if that's just not on the table, then I don't see what's a better option, basically.
The only way this comes back to bite the Suns is if Davon Reed turns into a
Derrick Jones Jr.
ninth, tenth man on the bench. And that's even, I mean, those guys are valuable to a certain extent, and we're not saying.
But then that's your, to me, that's mis-evaluating Davon Reed more, less so than it is about evaluating Jamal.
Well, that was the type of player you expected him to be coming out of the draft, was a guy who could be an eighth, ninth, tenth man, depending on how he like figured it out. And now it's going to be interesting to see what team claims him. Does the team claim him? Where does he wind up? Is he on a two-way somewhere? How does he look? Okay, if next year comes around, and they, because right now, like, Jamal Crawford helps them more, I agree on that, but next year, do they need a guy like Davon Reed, and more importantly, is Davon Reed that kind of guy? And
it's theory, like the Derrick Jones Jr. thing, like, where I forgot who they were trying to keep. It was one of the point guards, right? And they had to let him go last year, and now he's possibly a rotation player on the Heat?
He's at near the end of Miami's rotation, but everyone in Miami seems to enjoy him. So it's kind of a mix of, okay, if he isn't actually an NBA player and like a 12th man, does that really matter that they lost out on him? It doesn't. I developed the theory on this podcast over time that you can say teams are stupid and stuff, but they're always ahead of us on this stuff, and they're probably a good 6 months to a year ahead of everyone else on Davon Reed. So I'm sure if they were willing to let go of him, they have not seen what they wanted to see. And there's, I don't think there's much of an, he had the Hornets game I really liked, and that was literally it. As far as his impact on the team, that was it. But he didn't have the chance to, which is why I think there's an even better chance than Derrick Jones Jr., because Derrick Jones Jr. was like in the rotation. When they, that year, after the All-Star break, remember, Tyler Ulis, Alan Williams, and Derrick Jones Jr. led the second unit, and Jones started a lot that year, too, and he got a lot of playing time. And Reed didn't even get that, which is why I'm keeping my on him to emerge more than anything. But I mean, I agree with you. It's not something I'm going to lose my mind over, but I think it's a poor move for the reasons you stated, but also the reason that you needed this ball handler less than a week before the season and you had to let go of a guy you picked at 32 just last year to do so.
And that was obviously maybe Ryan McDonough's fault. They felt that way. But
do you have any Shaq Harrison thoughts?
No, I think he just didn't do enough as a point guard, really. I mean, he wasn't terrible as far as just like getting things in gear, but he just was so limited as far as creating plays off the bounce, and it just wasn't enough, I think, to say, hey, this goes well with your defense. But it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, he's a kind of a unique guy as far as just being able to defend like he does.
He's better than Bryonte Weber, and Bryonte Weber is a guy that I've always liked because of his defense and how rare guys that good on defense are at point guard.
Yeah.
I thought as soon as they signed De'Anthony Melton, I was like, that's it for Shaq, because you're not keeping two young, defensive-minded point guards in a three-point guard rotation. You're just not doing that. And Melton and Okobo obviously had to stay, and then Cannon for experience. That I always thought Harrison was gone. I think there were some that were pretty surprised by it, which I found odd, but at the same time kind of made sense because he's kind of in that vein. But I mean, look, let's see. How is Tyler Ulis going to do in Chicago? How's Alan Williams going to do on Brooklyn? They are very good at finding these borderline NBA guys and making people get attached to them.
Yeah.
But one of those guys is eventually going to work out, by the way. But it doesn't really hurt them right now.
So since we know the roster, basically, barring any crazy trades between now and tomorrow night, a little over 24 hours, let's play a game. If the Suns are in a close game down the stretch, so you need offense and defense, name five players who should be on the court.
Your closing five, basically. This is like your best five-man lineup, essentially, because some teams will start Ryan Anderson and start Isaiah Cannon, but this is different. This is closing time. I believe mine would be Booker. Again, not a point book guy, but we don't have many options here right now. Booker, Jackson. So this is where I want to say Bridges, but it feels like that's just not a thing, right? It's just not a thing. TJ, Trevor at the four, and then Ayton. And if we are believers in Mikal Bridges and he starts to look like Mikal Bridges we know from Villanova and that we know from our pre-draft process of watching him and everything, then I expect that to be Mikal Bridges. But for now, I'll say Warren. So I wouldn't have Bridges in there. I wouldn't have Anderson in there. I wouldn't have Kanan in there. I wouldn't have any of the point guards in there. Wouldn't have Daniels in there or Crawford. Go ahead. Drop Jamal Crawford at point guard. Here we go.
No, I was we didn't rehearse this before, and I was going to go the exact same lineup.
I don't
but
think...
Crawford would... Okay, who do you kick out? I'm trying to
TJ.
Think. TJ, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's the same kind of trade-off in a way. But
yeah.
TJ's more... I think TJ fits in there well because more intangibly kind of guy.
Can get an O-board or something.
Than Crawford. And then also, spacing-wise is where you might want to lean Crawford, though, because Jackson and Warren are on the floor together already, which is yikes.
Yeah.
So, actually, with that in mind, I'm going to change my answer to Bridges. I'm going to say I don't care how ready he is for 21. We need shooting. So, we have Book, we have Ariza, we have Bridges, and we have Ayton down low. Three shooters around Ayton. Jackson can slash and stuff. He'll have enough space. That's where I would go.
I was like thinking of how to get Ryan Anderson in there, but I can't.
Could you do...
If you did Ryan Anderson at center, just depending on the matchup, maybe. If you really needed spacing somehow. Or if you needed a three, let's say. Then you maybe... I don't know. It's tough. But Jackson... You hope Jackson's one the guy in there. Because I don't know if he's going to start, but you hope he's good enough where he's the defensive guy there.
So what about... Booker, Jackson, Ariza. Jackson and Ariza are guarding. Jackson is guarding the best guard. Booker's
yes.
guarding the other guard. Ariza's guarding the biggest threat at forward. So let's say you're playing Dallas and their closing five is their starting five, probably. You would have Jackson guarding Dennis Smith Jr. You would have Booker guarding Wesley Matthews.
Probably.
Ariza would take Doncic, then could you get away with Anderson on Harrison Barnes? Harrison Barnes isn't playing, by the way, but like this is...
Yeah, I was going to say Dorian Finney-Smith, just put him...
Yeah, or Dirk. I mean, and then center DeAndre would be on DeAndre.
Ryan Anderson could guard Dirk.
He could. Not a lot of people
well,
can guard
I mean,
Dirk, but...
not
yeah.
relatively.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're Ryan Anderson or...
I think we kind of figured out the problem there is balancing shooting and defense. And that's why Mikal Bridges being in the rotation is a big deal, I think.
Or not being in the rotation, as is reality, Kellen.
Yes. Hey, let's see. Let's see Wednesday. Because this will be Booker is back. The point guard, Delio, is there. I mean, of course, we could have to wait a couple more games for Jamal Crawford and then figure out how he fits in, but let's run through rotation guesses before we move on. So Ayton at center, obviously. Tyson will probably get his two breaks in the late first quarter to mid-second quarter type of deal and so on in the second half, you would guess?
Yeah, I think Tyson's back up.
At the four, I think this is where it gets the most interesting. Is Ryan Anderson playing 34 minutes a night? Is he playing 30? Is he playing 26? Is he playing 22? Is he playing 18? Is Kevin going to be able to breathe by the end of this podcast? It's fine. Just drink that monster, buddy. Come on. We got
Ryan. I think Ryan Anderson's going to be stuck in like 25 minute range.
Okay.
So I think they're going to be minutes there. Just, I think it's possible to go into a season with a defensive liability like that and just get people off and worried about that 3-point line. I think establishing that still has a lot of value, even if he's playing against good players and even if it's for brief moments before they go with a wing heavy rotation. I think that's doable. But that's even if they decide to go that way. Like, we haven't heard starting lineups other than, I think Isaiah Kanan told Gina Mazzell that he believes he might be starting at point guard, which is interesting. So that's Ryan Anderson's super interesting because it's a matter of principle versus realistic expectations of how he can play defense or not.
So I've got Ayton at 34 minutes. Would you say that's too high, too low, right around there? Second best player on the team, third best player on the team. They're really relying on him. So 32.
With Ayton, it's really interesting because he like talks about how hard everything is, and he's like admitted like almost that he gets gassed and he has to be in shape and stuff. And I think I'm looking at how they managed the minutes in the preseason, and it was just go out there and go 110%. You're moving all the time. Don't stop moving on either end. And if you have to get tired and come out, that's fine. Like, we're happy if you play 32 strong full minutes or 30 or whatever he can manage. And we'll use Tyson and Rashawn Holmes how we can if you're getting tired, but we don't want you to be slacking and tired out there is what I've kind of looked and seen from them.
Yeah, and Tyson, I think 7-8 minutes a shift for him isn't too bad. Okay, Ariza, I think that's a guy that plays 34,
yeah,
like 35. He's on a 1-year deal. They're not looking at him and saying, we need to like look at you long term. All right, Booker's at 30. Here's what I just looked up. There were 12 players in the league last year that averaged above 35.6 minutes per game, so 36 or more. CJ McCollum, Drew Holiday, Brad Beal, Wiggins, AD, Chris Middleton, Russ, Dame Lillard, PG, Jimmy Butler, Giannis, and LeBron. Will he be one of those guys? He was at just under 35 minutes a game last year.
Might as well be.
I think he's gonna get up there. Yeah, he was at 34.5 last year. I think he's gonna be up at around 36 right now.
He's gonna push. Yeah,
he's gonna push that. This is where it gets interesting. And now, once we have this number, we're gonna kind of try and do our math here and figure out where the rest of the minutes go.
You do the math. I'm just gonna sit here.
Yeah, I have it typed up. Don't worry. I have to have it typed up, or I can't do this in my brain. Kanan, how much is he actually gonna play? Is the big question here, I think, heading into opening night and how we feel about, not how we feel about the team, I shouldn't say that, but how we interpret the fluidity of the rotations. Like, is he actually going to play 28? Is he going to play 20? Is he going to play 15?
Crawford could split almost at point guard. I feel like that's what this is going to be.
Yeah.
Because he honestly doesn't scare me a lot. Like, he looks like an NBA point guard. He might be a backup. He might not be super good at anything, but if you just look at a guy who can hold his own, I think he's going to play a decent amount. And just based off what Jamal Crawford said, like, he opted out of his contract with the Timberwolves where he's making a lot of money because it's the Timberwolves, it sounded like. And he talked about with multiple publications this summer after doing that, that he just was looking for the right fit, which tells me the Suns are going to not just use him as a veteran leader guy who's going to maybe sit. He's going to play, I think. He's going to get 25 minutes, I bet.
25, you think, for Crawford?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me change up my mathematics here.
I'm just guessing, man.
Me too, but I kind of want to illustrate here some points that haven't really been touched on by us or really anyone else, is just how they balance all the minutes for the wings. Because so here's the thing. We have right now, we have Kanan at 23 and Crawford at 25 for point. Then we got Booker 36, Ariza 34, Anderson 24, Ayton 32.
So
you have got 50 leftover minutes between the 2, 3, and 4 position. And you've got to fill full playing time for Josh Jackson, TJ Warren, and Mikal Bridges, which lends to your point Mikal Bridges is probably not going to play, or very little. So right now I have that as Jackson plays 12 minutes at the 2, plays the other 14 minutes at the 3, and that adds up to 26 minutes a game for him off the bench. So some nights maybe Ariza's playing 28, some nights he's playing 34. Jackson kind of bounces with him there. And then Warren at 24, I think that's like right around a good number for him, but all of his minutes at the backup 4, because Jackson is going to need to.
And we didn't account for any point book minutes, right? Which can open up more wing minutes. So maybe it's matchup based, and if they can get away with Jackson guarding guards and that kind of thing, depending on who they're playing, maybe Kanan doesn't play as much or Crawford doesn't play as much.
And they don't really have any small ball 5 options here at all, really.
What? Dragan Bender. Ryan Anderson. They could do that.
Whoa.
But I don't think they will. I don't know. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep this note and then compare it to the minute totals tomorrow night and kind of keep track, because it's basically, this is an exercise we just did to illustrate the Mikal Bridges point, but also just a point of how much is Josh going to play, how much is TJ going to play off the bench, and then how much point book slash how much will the minutes at point guard help or not help them, like if they're not playing really anyone at point guard and vice versa.
Yeah. Do you want to... Are any more thoughts on that?
Just kind of season preview wrap.
Yeah.
Win totals. I'm at 27. I told Luke Lipinski and Eddie House that on the air, and they went, whoa!
Negative, Nancy.
As in, that's quite low. I just think there's too much to worry about here. I think there's a lot to worry about. We don't even talk about how they play in the West. We can't even get to it.
I'm at 29, and you know what? Actually, when we had to pick playoff teams in our NBA preview, I was actually a little... I felt better about the West being not as good as I thought it was, because I picked 8 playoff teams, and then after that, I was like, I don't know. These teams aren't... It's not like I had 3 other teams that should be in the playoffs. And that was even considering I included the Spurs, who are really hit by injuries at guard because they're the Spurs. So maybe it won't be that bad in the West. That's all I can say, is elsewhere maybe it will be. Like the Pelicans are probably... the Pelicans might not be good. The Clippers might be that team that surprise, I feel like. I don't know. But
they,
yeah, those top
gonna,
8 teams are good.
But they're going to be playing a good team regardless. Like I don't think the Pelicans... I still think the Pelicans and Clippers are going to be decent.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be bad. And that's the problem, is there were so many bad teams last year, and now they're all in the East. Bottom of the East, those teams might not win above, like, I think I saw Matt Moore's projections last night. He had 4 teams in the East finishing with 21 or fewer wins. Which
21?
Yeah.
They are bad, so yeah.
It's the Knicks, Hawks, and 2 other teams I can't think of right now. Who are the other
Magic?
Teams? The Magic. No, he did not have the Magic there. I'm going to pull it up so we don't forget teams. But I have 27, you have 29. Just too many questions on the team for me. If they had a point guard, I would feel much better about going to like 31, 32, but they don't. Even like someone like Tyus Jones, who's maybe a backup point guard in this league, just having him in there, they don't have a starting caliber. They don't have a backup caliber point guard.
Future Phoenix Sun, Tyus Jones?
Yep. Zach Lowe predicted that in his yearly predictions, and it, like he said, it makes a lot of sense. It really does make a whole lot of sense. Do you want to go league wide now for a bit? We kind of
rushed
a rapid fire thing last time.
Yes. So, where do you want to start? Want to start in the East?
Yeah, yeah. That's do we want to start in the East? Yeah, let's start there. Speaking of the East, I lied. 22 wins for the Magic, 21 for the Knicks and the Hawks, and 20 for the Bulls. Not buying that defense, Matt Moore, in Chicago. Sad Jabari.
Oh, he's going to be... That might be really sad.
Okay, so the East is extremely interesting to talk about, just because not only LeBron leaving this wide open, but I think the fact that the Celtics and Raptors are legitimately the best, this could be the best, I don't think I'm going to say could, this is the best version of those teams that we've had in their eras, so to speak, in the Brad Stevens era and then in the Kyle Lowry era in Toronto. These are the two best versions of those teams so far. But then there's also Milwaukee, Indiana, and Philadelphia, who could all threaten for 50 wins if everything goes right for them. It's ugly after that. We don't need to talk about after that. But
no.
What are your vibes? Do you think there's some vibes Celtics 65-win team? Are you there?
Not. I would say 60. I think that I just assume that there will be bumps in the road as far as mixing in those guys who were hurt, like Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, trying to figure out how can I play as well as I did last year with maybe less minutes or maybe a different role, or at least the ball maybe not in your hands as much. So, I mean, Brad Stevens is such a good coach that you expect that won't be that terrible of a process. But it's like LeBron when he first went back to the Cavs and they had Kevin Love, and they just had to figure out how this thing works, and then they eventually started rolling. But it's also different because I guess Kyrie's kind of in the same light, but Gordon Hayward doesn't really need, like, he can just throw him on any team and he would figure it out. I think
Hayward has to get going a bit.
Okay.
So that's where I hesitate towards the 64-65. I think if they were fully healthy, like Hayward was 100%, Kyrie's also coming off a dealio too.
Yeah.
I think I would actually go there because the Brad Stevens respect. I think he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
But I still think they are the best team in the East by a decent margin. And here is why. If you did not see the media day quotes and such from Kyle Lowry, I truly, truly recommend them, because he sounds like he is still super pissed about the DeMar DeRozan thing, and it sounds like he's barely talking to Kawhi Leonard at all. And Kawhi is a top 6-7 player in the league when he's healthy, whatever our rankings say, but they need Kyle Lowry to be Kyle Lowry still in order to threaten the Celtics, and I just hesitate as to how much this is actually going to... People are talking about like the emotional devastation for DeMar DeRozan and how he's going to handle it.
He'll be fine.
I think he's going to be fine because he's going to be super pissed off the entire year and play unreal basketball for Pop. I'm more worried about Lowry and how he adjusts now, because this is the end of his prime right now. And now he has to do it with this dude who, it doesn't sound like he... I don't want to say doesn't get along with, but doesn't mess with him that much. So I don't hit. Stay away from that. And if it wasn't that way, man, I'd be sitting here saying, like, I think Kawhi's going to be MVP and all this stuff. And I can't really go there, but I still think they're going to be the second seed because they have too much depth. Nick Nurse is going to make changes that are going to help. And I like the team still.
They're going more like four out, right? Like more modern.
He wants to run.
Jonas, yeah. And that, I feel like Toronto's either boom or bust, where I looked at their roster. I'm just like, dude, this team can compete with any team in the West, even if you have the right coaching, which I don't know. If Nick Nurse is going to win that locker room over or whatever, or if he has, because just the Dwayne Casey thing was weird that they fired him. And then, yeah, the Lowry thing. See, the Lowry thing doesn't bother me as much because they have Van Vliet, they have DeLon Wright. I could see if they, like, are a 500 team or worse to start just because things aren't happening. Like, if Lowry and Kawhi aren't fitting together well or something, they could just go out. And I was saying, like, I think they might even consider trading Kyle Lowry going in before all this crazy summer happened for them. And then suddenly you try to get some draft picks or something back for him. Suns. And you have two guys who can fill that spot, I think. And I might be overselling their role players a bit, but like OG looked really good at the end of last year. Pascal, like that dude looked really good in the preseason. Like if you move Serge Ibaka to the five, so there are just a lot of moving pieces that you, if they're utilized right, they could be really good. I don't know.
Siakam's legit good. Yeah. Okay. Let's play a fun game to keep this Suns oriented. Tell me when to stop on the Raptors' third best player and beyond. Who would not be the third best player on the Suns?
Wait, oh.
So we're going Ayton and Booker are the Suns' two best players. Which of these guys would not be better than Josh or TJ or whoever you have a reason as third best player?
Yeah.
Serge Ibaka. Is he the third best player on the Suns right now?
Yes.
Jonas. Just ignore the center thing.
Probably, yeah.
Danny Green.
Is he good anymore? I don't know.
He was going through some injuries. He was playing through injuries. He told
me. If he's back, then he's, yeah.
Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Feels bad. Why didn't they pay him? DeLon Wright.
Possibly.
OG Anunoby.
Yes.
Pascal Siakam.
Possibly.
This is why I picked this. Like the Raptors,
what a fun
are,
game, Kellen.
This is the Raptors are super deep. Oh yeah, and the Suns are not. Game. Okay, let's wrap up the East. Bucks, Pacers, Sixers. Pacers. I think there's a chance. Miles Turner was just average last year, maybe even below average last year, and I guess he was playing hurt or something. I didn't really catch the full story on that, but he just got paid. And he got paid like someone who was going to be a young star in this league or a young up-and-coming star. He got the Gary Harris money, kind of, in a certain way. And he did not play as good as Gary Harris last year. Look at me always talking about Gary Harris. Always find a way here. So I think there's a way he jumps a level, and I think Sabonis has played really well. I like Tyreek and McDermott. I don't understand why people don't. It's like Tyreek is a good shooter now. Doug has always been a good shooter. It's just more shooting for a team that already was doing pretty well in itself. And now instead of him kicking the ball out on the corner to not... Bojan was like the only shooter on that team.
And yeah.
That Collison was the guy who took like two threes a game and he hit like 40% of them. But he wasn't a high volume guy. Those guys are high volume.
Yeah. If Oladipo and Turner just take a little baby steps and that wasn't just an anomaly of a season for Oladipo there, that's... low-key fun team to watch.
Yeah. The team everyone is kind of skeptical of, surprisingly, including me, is the 76ers, because in theory two young players, they just won 50 games, two young players are their best players, they brought back their main guys like Covington, Saric, JJ Redick is still around, and now they are making this just wild card move. They are starting Markelle Fultz at the two. They're bringing J.J. Redick off the bench. I like it. I think you just have to find out. Like, why not right now? Just find out if the kid's got it or not. But at the same time, that was the best lineup in basketball last year, that starting lineup. It was the best lineup in basketball statistically, and it's just a nutty move to make. But the vibes, the kind of goosebumps, kind of you're feeling off for some reason about them. Obviously Embiid's health is the thing, but Ersan and Bellinelli were two pretty big parts of that team towards their stretch run, which is where they became a 50 win team. They were looking like a 500 team for most of the year, and then they made this huge run and now they're a 50 plus win team. Those guys were replaced by Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala, and I believe Wilson Chandler's already hurt. So, and that's where you kind of hesitate a bit. How much are they going to get from, like, Korkmaz? Or are some of the guys they drafted this year going to come in? I hesitate. Oh, do you have any thoughts on those two?
If TJ McConnell is still trying to play behind all those other guys, is that good or bad?
The fact that they needed him to play in that, to start in that series, speaks to how much they needed Fultz.
Yeah.
So I think I landed on them regressing, but man, if Fultz clicks and it turns out they didn't really need those other two guys and they're going to be fine, and Covington and Sarge, like, Sarge could take another step forward. He's young. Covington is what he is, but
they're approaching it like they're still like a retooling, rebuilding team.
Yeah, but they have a chance to not only make the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think the Celtics, unless they just hit a crazy year in January and go on, like, they're not unbeatable by any means in the conference finals. And then lastly, Milwaukee is the last team up top there. I picked Giannis to make MVP. Coach Bud is a good coach. Giannis has never played for a good coach. Shooters around him. Bud's going to make him shoot more corner threes. He's going to make him do good basketball things. Dante Hive, what up? We're back. He's going to shoot off the bench. Tony Snell, hopefully a little comeback year there. I know I'm really, really trying to. What I'm saying is there's more shooters there. And Brogdon, Middleton, they brought in Ersan Ilyasova. It's clear what their plan is. They want shooting around this guy because that's really all you need around this guy. And he's my MVP pick. I think the Bucks are going to make the Eastern Conference Finals because he's going to be at such a transcendent type of really level at his age that the Raptors or the 76ers or the Pacers or whoever they come up against that's not Boston are just going to be screwed.
I completely forgot they added Brook Lopez. Is that just my ESPN thing? Roster not being accurate?
No, they got Brook Lopez. You're right. Yeah, I have them beating the Raptors
Pat
in the Eastern Conference
Connaughton,
Finals.
That's sneaky good pickup too, maybe. Yeah.
Can never tell with those Blazers, like, end of bench guys, you know?
That's true.
Like, Lehman was going off in the preseason. I'm like, I like Jake Lehman, but is this happening now?
Jake Lehman should not score 30 points on your team.
Or score the same amount of points you do in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Why do we keep coming back to this and just, like, murdering the Suns?
I'm sorry. Well, it's a Suns podcast.
Yeah. Move on.
We both picked the Celtics to come out of the East. Surprise.
Yeah, you have the Celtics over Raptors in 7. I have the Celtics over the Bucks in 6. I got the heebie-jeebies about the Kyle Lowry thing, man. I'm not liking it.
That's fair.
It Dwayne Casey seemed like that might have been a thing, too. He might have been a Dwayne Casey guy.
West. Okay, let's start with LeBron. I think I have no idea what to expect out of that roster. I don't know if they will be able to play defense. I don't know if they will be a good shooting team. But I do know LeBron James is very good. So they're going to be a bottom four playoff team.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I don't see
any... Do you have
any
thoughts on what their team is? I don't know what their team is. That's the thing.
They're like...
Dang entertaining.
They're like the Suns, and this is not a negative, where we keep bringing a negative back to the Suns, but you just need to see them for like 5 to 6 games to see what their rotation is going to be. Like, are you really going to play Rondo over Lonzo? Are you really going to play Lance over Josh Hart? How much of that is going to factor in? How much are they going to go small? How much are they going to run? Because they have a young, athletic team. Their strengths are they're very athletic and young. That's the strongest part of their team outside of having LeBron James, obviously, is Ingram, Hart, Kuzma.
You can run all you want, but in
Lonzo.
The playoffs,
that's a better way to turn this. Do you think they win a playoff series?
No.
Because if they finish as a 5-6, so you have them finishing against, you have them playing against the Jazz in the first round. I have them taking on the Jazz in the first round. We both have that. Can they beat the Jazz in a playoff series?
I don't think
where it see the difficulty is where do they on the spectrum of the Cleveland team last year, counting in the variable that they're in the West and there are really good teams out there, like where does that, because LeBron
unless
is,
the Jazz really miss Igor and somehow aren't very good and get hurt or something,
What's your biggest problem? Just the secondary, third options on offense, the defense?
I don't know who their shooters are. I mean, I guess Ingram. I guess if you play Kuz a lot, which they should do probably, but they don't have any rim protectors who are like JaVale McGee on Not the Warriors scares me. Like, what's your defensive backbone?
I don't know. I wrote this. I don't know what their offense, defense, and shooting. I don't know what it looks like.
I don't know what anything. Yeah.
And it's, you have LeBron James, but I have no idea. And it would have been a lot easier if, a Wayne Ellington was there instead of Lance Stephenson, a backup point guard, free agent blank. I'm not figuring out right now, was there instead of Rondo, you know, or not so much Rondo, because he was pretty good in New Orleans and he actually is going to help them. But JaVale, it's, there were better options out there.
I feel like Magic Johnson,
Lopez, you know,
I feel like Magic Johnson went out and it was like, he wants to make it into Showtime Lakers again, which is fine. Like, I understand that's your, you got to sell it and it's going to be fun. You have a bunch of pretty darn good, like, passers, but you can't pass it the whole time, and I just, yeah, I don't understand it.
I made my Nuggets pitch last time, so I won't elaborate again. That was at the end of last podcast, if you want to hear it. I just think Nikola Jokic is a star, and that they have a lot around him to win 55-plus games and be the second seed. I don't like Houston. We talked about that a bit, too, last time.
Bench what, is bad.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Utah a bit? We didn't talk about Utah, and you think Utah, you've got Utah as a two seed?
Yeah, I just, this is hoping Rudy Gobert does not get hurt, which I'm a little like, I don't know if that'll happen. Like, where is their weakness? Assuming Donovan Mitchell wasn't just having a crazy rookie year and is not going to get better, how is this team getting a lot worse? I do not know. I think Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell is really good defensive backcourt. Dante Exum should only get better now that he had a lot of exposure in that playoff run where he's kind of going to be that defensive ace off the bench, can maybe take on more playmaking. I don't know where Alec Burks will even show up in this. Joel Ingles is low-key underrated. Their front court's just solid. I don't see how they can regress a whole lot unless there are just a lot of changes from, like, their offense suddenly not working or something. Because they don't have, if Donovan Mitchell does not carry them, then they don't have that number one offensive guy. But he seems to be that guy.
Royce O'Neal is good.
Oh, yeah.
He's a nice little defensive pest guy who pissed off Devin Booker one game, and I was like, that's a really bad idea, dude. And it proved to be a bad idea, but he's good. And they have just enough around, I think. They have just enough around to be a top four. I think that's how I feel about them. Rudy Gobert is just good enough to have him at that level. Donovan Mitchell was just good enough and should be just good enough. Rubio, Ingles, Favors, all that stuff. I think it's there. We have a dilemma in the Western Conference, which is there were 9 teams basically in the playoff hunt last year, and then a 10th team added LeBron James. So, because of that, there is a real kerfuffle, a real mix-up here. So you got Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, Nuggets, and OKC are pretty much playoff locks, you would say. The Thunder don't have Roberson right now. They have Russell Westbrook and Paul George. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Russell Westbrook isn't playing in the opener, but
they might actually be good. We don't talk about that.
He should be fine. Yeah, they are in that conversation for sure. Then we've got we got the Lakers. I believe the Lakers in really their own tier, where it's like they are a playoff team, but where do they finish in these last three spots? We don't really know. And then there is the two of these teams are in, one of these teams is out, the Pelicans, Spurs, and the Portland Trail Blazers. I have the...
No Pelicans, right?
New Orleans Pelicans out, as do you. I think we're kind of biased because we watched a lot of Elfrid Payton last year. But with that being said, this is something we kind of hit on at the end of last time, but it's just, who is there? third. Who is their second? Their second best player is Nikola Mirotic. I don't think anyone's really talking about that.
Drew?
Oh, Drew. Sorry. Yeah, Drew. Doug. I meant their third. Their third best player is Nikola Mirotic or Julius Randle, which is okay. That's fine. But after that, there's just not a lot of depth. It's kind of like what we talked about with Toronto just now, where they have all these names that can really help in a lot of different areas. And in New Orleans, there aren't those guys. They're trading for Wes Johnson in this random Alexis Ojinsa deal because they need wings. So to me, I have them out. I have the Trailblazers and Spurs in. I believe in Terry Stotts, despite the smoke. Where there is smoke, there is fire. There is smoke in Portland. And I'm betting on the Spurs until I die.
Do not bet against the Spurs. Yeah, I feel like Greg Popovich is going to win Coach of the Year. I just feel like it. They're going to win like 50 games with, I mean, DeMar and LaMarcus Aldridge are good. Don't get me wrong, but name, like, have a casual fan name like their fifth best player. I'm trying to think of who that might be.
Oh, for New Orleans?
No, the Spurs.
Oh, for the Spurs, their fifth best player? Well, that's the thing that's interesting here is that we're betting on the Spurs. They lost DeJounte Murray for the year. Derek White is going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks, I believe I saw. So that's a whole lot of Patty Mills, and there's going to be a little bit of Bryn Forbes sprinkled in there.
Is Gasol or Rudy Gay maybe that guy? I don't know.
And Lonnie Walker is going to miss time too, I believe, as well. So they right. are really hurting in the backcourt. But again, I think they are going to be, I think they're going to be fine. And is this the, everything points towards this being the year they go down, but that was the case when they had Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge starting in their front court, and they had one of the best defenses in the league still.
The teams that are kind of out of playoff range after the Pelicans or along with the Pelicans, let's say T-Wolves, Mavericks, and Clippers? I feel like the Clippers might be low-key decent. I can't tell. I really like Tobias Harris is all. And Gallinari, when he's healthy, which I have no idea. He seems healthy. Timberwolves are a mess, as you might have heard. But if Jimmy Butler's on that team, they're going to be decent to start the year. If he's cursing at opponents. And then the Mavericks actually might be good again, just like that. You can't count them out.
So Memphis, Clippers, Mavericks, also Timberwolves. Memphis,
yeah.
Sort those four in order. Yeah, Memphis, the Clippers, Mavericks, and Timberwolves. I would go Clippers 1, Grizzlies 2, Mavericks 3, Timberwolves last.
Really?
Well, I how can you bet on the Jimmy Butler thing with what's going on right now?
Yeah.
It's they were one of the best teams in the league when he was healthy, but what is that really going to... How can... I can't even talk right now trying to think of a way to rationally believe that they're going to be a 40-win team.
I wasn't reeling you so much about them, but I feel like... Do you think the Mavericks are going to be good?
Yes.
DeAndre Jordan's on their team now, by the way. Luka, throw that. That starting five is pretty good. No?
Well, that's a team where if... Who's a random NBA coach? If like Dave Yeager was their coach, I'd kind of be like, eh.
No. Yeah.
Dave Rick Carlisle. He's one of the 5-6 best coaches in the league. More specifically, DSJ and Doncic are perfectly tailored for his type of system. DSJ and Luka both really need each other. DSJ is the guy you want the ball in his hands, but you don't want him to be 100% ball in the hands guy. Luka is you want him to be the guy who has it in his hands all the time, but he probably can't have it in his hands all the time, so he needs someone else out there to be the change of pace, and that's exactly what he is. So those two, in theory, it's perfect. DeAndre is not really the absolute perfect big man for them, but, I mean, he's a great rim runner and a great rebounder, and not so sure where his rim protection is at these days, but he's going to help them. And yeah. Shooters, Wes, they've got a couple of guys on their bench that have played well in the past year. And I think that they are going to be like 35, 36, 37. I think they're going to be pretty solid. And that's where I think that's where you look at Phoenix as like a corollary and kind of say, yeah, that's where they could be in a year. There's just a lot of, we've already talked about all the questions with the team, but it's there aren't really that many in Dallas outside of if you think Luka Doncic is trash or you think DSJ is trash. I guess if those two guys suck, they're going to suck, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Memphis is just interesting because you think they're old and slow, and the pickup they made this offseason was getting a guy named Salomo and Kyle Anderson and then, what, Jaren Jackson Jr.? Like, that's an interesting lineup. Maybe if Conley and Gasol are back to what they were 2 years ago, then they're in really good shape. But a lot of question marks there because they were miserable last year. Their bench is probably terrible. I don't even know who's on their bench. But
it's a Kyle Anderson kind of thing here and there. Garrett Temple, sprinkle him in. They added a couple of those guys where you're like, it's all right.
Dylan Brooks, that's fun.
They've actually got some bodies there, but at the same time, it's been the same argument the past couple of years. It's a little bit better than the past couple of years, but at the same time, it's there. I think the Kings are the worst team in the entire league. They are going to be awful. I'm even hesitating. I thought Bagley was going to be a productive dude, and I don't want to really rely off summer league and preseason only, but it has not been encouraging to say the least. And I thought he was going to be a guy who can give you like 13 and 9 no matter what. I'm not exactly sure anymore because he's in Sacramento, and that's where dreams go to die. Harry Giles could be fun. I think that's what everyone is saying. Is like when they talk about the Kings, they're like, Harry Giles, we'll see. De'Aaron, year two, but outside of that.
I'm frightened like De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley are just these great athlete guys out of college who don't develop because they're on the Kings.
It's really comes down to that, which is so sad for them. But
we can wrap this podcast on that. At least the Suns aren't the Kings.
At least the Suns aren't the Kings. We'll be back. Do you want to do one Wednesday night?
Possibly.
We might be back Wednesday night. If not, we'll be back at the end of the week to talk about the Suns' first two games or so, and our initial impressions. It's finally here. I'm very excited. Hope you guys listening are too. We'll see you next time.
Let's do that basketball.